As you'll be aware, the Higher Level Revitalisation Forum will convene again next week in Addis, and it'll bring together the parties to discuss the path to peace for South Sudan. UNMISS, as usual, will have a team of people there at the talks to support the process, to provide some technical support, because we believe very strongly that this forum is critical to achieving a genuine and lasting peace. And we hope that our role there will be able to narrow the positions between the various parties. And I hope that while we are there, that the parties seize the opportunity to make real progress for the sake of their people that continue to suffer immensely with the ongoing conflict. It's deeply concerning in particular that we are witnessing an escalation of violence in many parts of the country, including the Unity region, Jonglei and the Equatorias, and this is at odds with the cessation of hostilities agreement that was reached just 5 months ago. The solution to the challenges facing South Sudan are not violent ones, they are political, certainly political and not military. And all of the warring parties must abide by the cessation of hostilities agreement, lay down their weapons and come to the negotiating table with a genuine willingness to compromise, to reconcile and to work with peace. UNMISS has put significant resources into supporting CITESAM in its independent role in investigating, verifying and reporting on violations to the cessation of hostilities. We have provided logistical support, including by both road and air, to the various conflict zones, as well as peacekeeping and force protection so that CITESAM can safely carry out its work in investigating possible violations on the ground. In relation to that, I support the comments made at the UN Security Council yesterday by the Undersecretary General for Peacekeeping, who urged IGAD to make public the various CITESAM reports on violations to the cessation of hostilities agreement. It's important that these reports are considered and where the evidence exists that the violators are held to account publicly. It's only by doing that that we'll be able to end the cycle of impunity that continues to exist. Last week, I travelled to the Unity region to get a first-hand understanding of the impact and the surge of violence in that region. I spoke to both parties. I helicoptered in into the area of Lea and spoke to the acting governor in Southern Leech, and then I helicoptered across to IO positions and talked to them about fighting in the region and urged both of them to stop fighting and to put the interests of their communities and their people first. I saw while I was there tukuls that were burnt to the ground, a looted medical facility, a child, I believe, is one of many who had been shot through the stomach and back. And we're told of thousands of people who had fled into the swamps and to areas where they believed they could get away from the fighting, but made themselves extremely vulnerable as a result of them having to leave their homes and to leave their support mechanisms. Because of that insecurity, unfortunately, many humanitarian agencies have had to pull out of the area and have left people without access to medical support, including food and clean water. The situation is both appalling and disappointing, and I urged, as I said, to both sides to put the interests of their people first. I raised the issue of escalating violence in Unity and many other issues during a lengthy meeting I had yesterday with the President, Salva Kiir. We also spoke of the importance of coming to an agreement with the High Level Revitalisation Forum and the need for all parties to take part in good faith with genuine will to resolve the conflict that has been plaguing the situation here in South Sudan for many years. And we discussed also about how the UN can continue its work alongside the people of South Sudan to protect civilians and build durable peace, the two reasons why UNMISS is in this country. So let me finish there. I'd make it fairly short, and I'm happy to take the questions that you have to me. If you could wait for the microphone, sir, the listeners in Radio Maria are able to hear your question as well. Thank you very much.
My name is Kong Pal from iRadio.
Yes.
I would like to know from you that the other day the President of the Republic said that he would welcome back his former deputy to South Sudan, and he said if he fear of his life, he is ready to ask UN or regional protection force to provide security to him. Is that in plan? And the second question is, we heard that there are plan also that the reduction of UN peacekeepers at the civilian protection side, that security camera will be installed. Is that part of the plan also? Thank you.
Okay, just first of all, the question about the return of Riek Machar, I mean, there's something that we discussed briefly in our meeting yesterday with the President. I think what needs to come first is a peace agreement. We need to have an agreement by which others, if they want to come back into the country, and it has to be under that auspices that would happen. Secondly, ultimately the responsibility for protection, it lies with the government first and foremost, not with outsiders in the form of UNMISS. We will talk about that if that comes to light, but at the moment we want to see, you know, a peace agreement, and secondly guarantees by the government, if those things happen, then we'll talk further, but that's as far as the conversation's got so far. In terms of the using a greater degree of technology in order to be able to keep an eye on the POC sites, yes, we're always looking for new ways of being able to do that. If we're able to do that, it certainly will be able to be a saving for us in terms of manpower that would otherwise be patrolling where we can use cameras. There's nothing being set up in place so far, but yes, we're looking at different options at the moment. Heba.
Hey David, how are you doing? Quick question. The high-level revitalization forum is scheduled to happen on the 17th in Addis Ababa. Should it not happen, what do you think would be the next steps taken by the UN Security Council and UNMISS, basically, to try to contain the upsurge of violence that you were talking about earlier? And what would the consequences be should the high-level revitalization forum fail, even if they do convene? And the other question is, South Sudan's government has made it clear that they might head to elections in August if the peace talks fail and they can't come up with a new deadline. Are you ready to provide any kind of support for elections, including in UN camps?
Okay, well, first of all, there's no plan B as far as we're concerned. We are focused on the high-level revitalization meeting. I understand that there is some, right now there's quite a lot of intensive shuttle diplomacy to try and bring the two sides closer together. And as far as we know, it will take place on the 17th for 4 or 5 days, and we hope that it'll come out with a resolution. If it doesn't, then we'll look at what happens at that point. But certainly, I think it's both IGAD and the African Union, and certainly the UN, which have pledged to work closely together, it's that we will continue to focus on the on the success of this process. That's really the way forward. In terms of elections, ultimately the peace process looks at elections as being the end of the of a process, a peace process. So I don't think anybody would disagree that elections are an important aspect. I think it's important though that elections are held and are free and fair, and that means that they need to have the right preparation to be free and fair. We need the constitutional background in order for elections to be the basis on which they'll be held, and secondly the logistics and the ability for everybody to be able to participate. And that's not a process that can be done in a few weeks. It takes quite a long time to do that. And what we want to do is to make sure that if elections are held, that people have the ability to vote, the right to vote, and are satisfied with the result. And those are the ingredients which will enable peace to come and the basis by which peace can carry forward.
I'm Dimos Silva Aurelio, VOA. The U.S. is considering reviewing its projects in South Sudan and the aids that it's providing in South Sudan. What would that mean if the U.S. cut some of the projects and the aids in South Sudan, considering the humanitarian situation in the country at the particular moment? The second question is about you had been in Unity State, and this fighting seems to be going on unreported. Could you just tell us exactly what have you seen, and have you talked to both parties? Who is attacking who?
Okay. Just on your first comment, I mean, obviously, what I saw was the US was looking to review their aid, not cut it. So I think it's important to make that distinction. And obviously, the US is by far the biggest donor to South Sudan. But it's very much the issue of aid, and what is provided by a particular member state is very much up to the member state. So it's better probably that you talk to and ask the question to the US as opposed to as to me. Secondly, with regard to your question on Unity, CTSAM has been in the area, and we have helped CTSAM get into the Unity area. We have a base in Lea. They've visited the base in Lea. They're writing a report on the issue, and it's their mandate to report on who started what and who has been responsible for what. So we provide them the access. They then do the analysis. And what I'm asking for is that analysis to be made public in a timely manner, so that we are able to arrest conflict as it goes on rather than allowing it to go on.
Thank you. My name is Haitham Awed from Al Jazeera Arabic. First question, earlier this week, you were aware that the SPLM-IO and Tabandenga, they decide to join the main party with the government. How do you look to that step in regards of the peace? Secondly, can you brief us about or update us about this humanitarian situation in South Sudan as we're going to the rainy season now? How do you describe the situation there in Unity in this part? You went there.
First Vice President Tabandeng, as you know, joined the SPLM. Certainly that was his decision to make. In terms of those who would see the alternative and the future as being a unified SPLM and moving forward together, it's clearly in the right way for those people who see that as being a positive way forward. But I think probably the best person to ask is Tabandeng himself about how he feels and how he sees the way forward rather than myself. From our point of view and the UN's point of view, any move where people come together in the interest of South Sudan is a positive thing. And as long as that's in their hearts, that's what they want to do. We would acknowledge and believe that it's positive. In terms of your question on the humanitarian situation, this is the worst time for people, because for many people who have perhaps planted crops last year, that their crops and their what they have in reserve is starting to run out. They're planting as of the beginning of the rainy season, and they're unlikely to harvest until September, October, November. So these months now are the worst and the most difficult times for people in South Sudan, particularly the people in the northern half of South Sudan. And the southern half, where in the equatorial, is where there's a chance to have two or possibly even three crops come in, they've got more opportunity and more options. But for the rest, it's very difficult. It's also a time when it's difficult for us to be able to move on the roads, because the roads become closed. So I know WFP, World Food Programme, is working very, very hard to pre-position food at the moment so that they can overcome some of the worst aspects of the next few months. And we have worked very closely with WFP and UNOPS together, along with the government, to try and make sure that the roads are more stay open for a longer period of time, so that food can be transported even when the rains start, that the roads are in a better condition, so that we can get a few more weeks out of trying to get trucks into particular different areas. So bottom line, it's going to be a tough time, and particularly a tough time for many parts in the north, but we're doing what we can to try and improve the situation.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity again. Kong Pal from iRadio. We just got the news from SPLM spokesperson that Citizen plane came under heavy gunfire in Pagak as it tried to land. Do you have any details on that? And the other question, you talked about road. Recently, during dry season, you talked about UNMISS helping rehabilitating roads. How many kilometers of road so far that you help clear? Thank you.
Okay. On your first question, I don't know. In fact, I'd like to know. It's just come to hand. I can't comment on it other than to say we, and I'm sure CT Sam, and I don't know what aircraft was actually there, because often the aircraft is our aircraft that we transport them in. We do not go into any area without the explicit permission and approval from both sides. So if there is, if they've come under heavy attack, it would seem to me that there's been some breakdown or there's something gone wrong. So, but I'll have to find out after the press conference. I'm sorry. Just on the other issue of roads, I don't have the number of kilometres at hand. I can say that the main roads that we have been supporting from UNMISS side have been Juba to Boer, which has been regraded. We've had some problems about getting Murrum into the right places around Mangala, unfortunately. We've also opened the road between Boer and Peebor. That has had a huge impact on the market in Peebor. Goods, the price of food and goods dropped dramatically because trucks and transport has been able to get into Peebor. And there's been, it has had a positive impact on the relationships between Mulay and Dinka in the area. The other main roads that we've been working on is between Juba, Rum and Rumbek, and from Rumbek up to Wau. The way that we divided the work up is that UNMISS has provided mainly the maintenance and upgrading of the roads. The World Food Programme and UNOPS has been looking at particular choke points, particular areas, and tried to put in a more permanent culvert or a bridge, so that every year we don't have to do a sort of a repair to the. So that's the way we've tended to work together. And the other area, I should say, is Wau. There's been some work between Wau and Kwajok, up and around into Benshu, the road into Benshu, and then from Malakal up to Malut. The improvement of the Malakal-Malut road as well. So, there's been a lot. I can't tell you how many kilometres that is, but it's a lot. And they're still working on it now as we speak. They're still working on it. And we will continue to work on it until rains stop us from being able to move.
Thank you. My name is Mabior. I work with Arabia TV. You said yesterday you have met with the president. Could you confirm the president was accept that Riek Machar can return back? Because there is some news says Riek Machar is going to return back, and he's going to protect it with the Rwandan battalion. Could you confirm that this battalion of Rwandan, is it going to be from your UNMISS troop? Or it may come from Rwanda. My second question is the third round for the peace talks, it may held after a week from now. And you said some areas of Equatoria and Upper Nile are still under fire. So there is any hope from the warring parties can sign a peace, can sign an agreement for the third round for the peace talks after a week from now? Thank you.
In regard to your first question, there's been lots of different accounts of whether Riek Machar will come back. I mean, I don't have any confirmation about that. I mean, I think there's been discussions outside of South Sudan. Whether and how he will come back and under what protection, we haven't had any concrete discussions other than my comment before that ultimately the job of security lies with the government, ultimately and primarily with the government. So I think that's the most important thing, and certainly from our side there's been no formal approaches to do anything more, and certainly nothing with regard to a Rwandan battalion that I'm aware of, certainly not inside the UN anyway. Just on terms of the peace agreement, as you say, look, certainly in my role, I always remain in hope. If I didn't, then I probably would have to leave here. I always hope that there's going to be an ability for the parties to get together and come to a resolution. These are never easy negotiations. And if you look at other conflicts in the past and other places in the world, they took, you know, months, years to come to a resolution. I really do hope with the efforts of IGAD, the support of the African Union, the support of the United Nations, that we will be able to reach we'll make some progress, even if it's not a final resolution in the coming days. But we will make enough progress to make sure that there's another, we're able to move closer to the idea of having an overall comprehensive peace. That's my hope. And I don't think that a hope is unfounded or in any way hopeless. It's a real hope. So I really do. We will be putting every effort into what we are contributing in Addis. Every effort.
My name is Michael Duku, and I work for MDIS, which stands for Association for Media Development in South Sudan. I have two questions. Question number one is the engagement at the high-level revitalization forum. I see does not bring explicitly the plight of the media. Media is the fourth estate, as everyone know, but I see that it's better if it is put as an agenda. What is the media agenda at that level? Because here we are experiencing a lot of difficulties as journalists. What is the plight of the safety and protection of journalists in this country? Has this been entered into discussion? I read on the report issued by UNMISS in February, which has highlighted a lot of human rights abuses and abuse against journalists. So I feel that this has to be put, the media has to be put as an agenda for discussion at the high level revitalization forum. So what is UNMISS going to take on it? The second question is on media development. As all of us know, the history of this country in terms of capacity, where I work for media development. And I think this is the only way that we could push and build the capacity of local journalists with support from partners and well-wishers. But we find that we are also getting a lot of difficulties in terms of support from the development partners. Yes, we do have support from them, but not adequately enough to run long-term trainings. The Association of Media Development has started long-term trainings in this country, and this is the first journalism school that is there. But we find out that it's also very difficult to run such institutions without enough resources. We are struggling. We have a serious economic meltdown. What is the role of UNMISS doing on media development? Thank you.
Okay. First of all, just on your media, on the agenda of the HLRF with regard to media, if we don't have media at the HLRF, then people don't get to know what's actually going on. So it's absolutely critical. We certainly, from our side, from Radio Mariah and also a video camera, what we had at the last round, we were there and were able to interview and have access to all of the parties. And I know a number of you here are either likely to go, or JMAC or others are providing some support for you to go. So I think it's, from my point of view, it's critically important. The broadcasts that Radio Mariah did, for example, during that time, I heard, in because I travel around the country a lot, so many people telling me we were really appreciative of the news of what was going on, because it was that was the way that they found out about what was happening, and everybody has a right to know what's happening on their behalf, because ultimately peace is, and peace talks are on the behalf of the population. Secondly, in terms of media development, I'll have to allow you to talk to my media team about that. That's something that they've been involved with. I know that there's a lot of cooperation amongst the various media here. We share some of our visual and video material, some of our reports. We get recording from areas where we haven't been able to cover, and we've shared it, and I think that's really, really important. I think it's really important that the media here is vibrant, it's free, and we support each other. So from our point of view, I can't speak to the specifics, but certainly from our point of view as the UN, where we have a particular mandate to support free press and free media, we will do whatever we can to support other free media. It's not about us.